Morning.
Welcome to everyone. Isn't it a pretty day out there today? And we can thank the good Lord for that. Amen. It's good to see you. I hope you've brought a great spirit of worship. God is here with us. He wants to do something in our hearts and lives. And we need that. Amen.
Amen.
Before we begin worship, we got announcement here. Bible study on the 27th, 10 a.m. on Thursday. Do we have any others? Okay. If we don't have any other announcements, then let's prepare for worship.
Everyone will please stand and take your bulletins. We're going to read the responsive reading together. Come and hear what God has done.
God has listened to all our prayers.
When we pass through the torrent of deep troubles,
God turns the sea to dry land.
When we are tangled in the web of life,
God does not let our feet slip.
When we are tested as silver is tried,
God keeps us in the land of the living.
When we go through fire and water,
God brings us to a spacious place.
Come and hear what God has done.
God surrounds us with steadfast love.
Father God, we thank you that you love us with the love that you love. And we're so glad that you've set an example to us in the way that we should love one another. We need your help in that. And that's why we come to worship, to be filled, anointed, and empowered by your Spirit, that we may do what you've called us to do. We thank you for your watch care over us. And as we worship today, just speak and move in our hearts and lives like we never dreamed possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You'll turn in your hymnals to 526. We're going to sing verses 1, 2 and 4 of the Solid Rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
You may be seated. Sorry. I don't know what I was waiting on.
That's all right.
Miss Linda Faye has our script.
We listen to our leaders, don't we? Got good leadership. Okay. Today we're going to look in the Old Testament. The reading is on page 490 in the Pew Bible. And the psalmist is talking about assurance of victory. And that is a good message. It says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkest, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast because they are trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing." Okay, we'll go to the New Testament. In the Pew Bible, it's page 983. And this is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 to 23. And it's talking about a call to holy living. "Since you call on the Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life that was handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of our Lord God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God."
So long, I answer.
continue to worship as we pray this morning. Are there any needs we need to remember?
Remember Harry Miller.
Okay, Harry Miller.
Livia Smith's mother.
Livia Smith's mother.
She passed away.
She passed, okay. Any others? All right, remember Marcy and Crystal. Okay. Dr. Rooks passed, okay.
Somebody over here.
I think that was it.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyone else? All right, let's remember these needs as we go to the Lord in prayer and certainly offer thanks for God's blessings. He's been mighty good to us. Let's pray.
If you will please take your hymnals and turn to 345. We're going to stand and sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of What a Wonderful Savior.
We are redeemed, the price is paid. What a wonder.
blessed people that have ever lived. And yet we don't always realize that. Help us remember that every day, that you take care of us better than we have anybody ever. Please bless now these offerings we give back to you as a small token of what you've done for us. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. May be seated. Doxology. Seated. Our scripture text today comes from John chapter 13, verse 7. Now, I realize it's the third Sunday in Easter and that the context of this scripture was before Jesus was crucified. Actually, it was following the Last Supper when he washed his disciples' feet. But there's a passage there I think is applicable today and every day, and that's what we want to read. John 13, chapter 7, verse 7. Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." Sometimes I call my wife from work and I say, "What are you doing?" Or, "What have you been doing?" And I know y'all never done it before. And so that's kind of our thought today. What's Jesus doing? You know, what's he up to? You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important event and the most important message in the history of the world. Every Easter, billions of people worldwide, his family, they remember Jesus' death on the cross for their sins and celebrate the resurrection that proved that Jesus was exactly who he said he was. But the story of Jesus doesn't end with the resurrection or even his ascension into heaven. Jesus isn't complacent, he's not lazy, or he's not content with the way things are or the way things have been. Jesus is busy. And he hasn't been idle for 2,000 years. No, not Jesus. Jesus has been hard at work. There are those today who still do not know what Jesus is about, and they don't understand what Jesus is doing. And therefore, they fail to join Jesus in the great work that he's doing. Beloved, Jesus wants us to understand what he's doing. So today I want to let's celebrate five things that Jesus is achieving today. Number one, Jesus is building a family to love forever. God has planned this since he created the universe. If he didn't want a family, he wouldn't have had to create the universe. Ephesians 1:5 says he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with the pleasure of his will. I want to read that from New Living Translation. It's a little more today type English. It says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his family. Why does God do that? Because he values family. And God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Building God's family makes Jesus happy. And the bigger the family gets, the better Jesus loves it. Because God's love is unconditional. It's continuous. It is extravagant. And our capacity to give and receive love stems from being made in the image of God. The more we are like God, the more we love people. Now, I've known people who say they know Jesus, but yet they do not like people. And how can this be possible? It's not. God wants us to develop his characteristics. God deeply desires that we learn to love others just as he does. God's family, the one he's building right now as we hear these words, it isn't like any other family on earth. Every other family is temporary. You know how that is. We've lost some dear loved ones in the past year. But God's family is not. God's family lasts forever. God's family is eternal. And Jesus is building his family to last and to be alive forevermore, to love and to cherish. And that's good news, isn't it? You know, we've got something to celebrate. And we can celebrate that because Jesus is building a family that he's going to love forever. The second thing is, Jesus is keeping God's family safe and secure. The devil has his evil forces in the world at work and attempt to harm God's children. I guess he thinks that if he harms God's children, it's going to hurt God. And I think to some extent, this saddens God. But just like any other loving father, God doesn't want to lose any of his children. How many of you want to lose any of your children? We don't, do we? We'll do anything it takes to save them and to have them close to us. But many people put their faith in Jesus, but they doubt whether they can keep themselves saved. Often their temptations lead to doubts. And it's important that we understand we can't save ourselves from sin. And we can't keep ourselves saved either. But Jesus can, because that's his job. Jesus told us in John 10:27-28, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they will never die. And no one can steal them out of my hand. I tell you, we can celebrate the fact that Jesus has been securing our salvation for over 2,000 years. And I can lose my family. I can lose my health. I can even lose my sanity. But according to Jesus, I can never lose my salvation. As long as I hold on to Jesus, I'm safe in the arms of my Savior. My salvation is held in the hands of Almighty Jesus. And you better not mess with me, because I'm his and he's mine. And he's given me eternal life. And no one can take that from me. And you can say the same thing today if Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. We've got something to celebrate, people. Praise his name. Jesus keeps us safe and secure. Church, hang on to Jesus. He loves to keep you safe and secure. The third thing is Jesus is praying for everything that we had, every need that we have. The Bible is very clear on this. Jesus is God, but Jesus is also praying to God the Father on our behalf. Jesus is talking to his daddy about us. And it's not gossip. Huh? Jesus ended up there nitpicking us with his Father. He's praying for what we need, beloved. Huh? He's praying for what we need. And in fact, he did that even just before he died on the cross. Jesus, before he died, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. He's talking about his disciples. But I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. And his disciples spread the good news, the message all across the known world. It's still being spread today. That same message that comes out to us. And Jesus is praying for all who believe through the message of the gospel. Hebrews 7, 24 and 5 says, behold, because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, he is able once and for all to save those who come to God through him. And listen to this. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. Listen to this. This morning, right now, Jesus is interceding for you. Jesus knows your concerns that weigh you down. And Jesus certainly knows when you're under stress. Jesus knows if you're facing doubts or fears. And Jesus is praying for whatever concerns you, even if you don't even know the concern. Now that's good stuff right there, huh? Even if you don't even know, he's still praying for you, and he knows and he cares. He's praying for us. He's thinking about us. Think of all the times someone has asked you to pray for them. How many have ever felt inadequate to pray for someone when they ask you? You ever felt that way before? All right. You just didn't have the words. Guess what? Jesus was already taking those requests to God. Hallelujah. Amen. He is interceding, the Bible says. He is alive. He is actively involved in our well-being. And he is presenting our every need that we have to Almighty God. Wow. Now, that's awesome, isn't it? And that is good news. You know, I look in the I glance at the news every morning to see if there's anything in there good. It's rare you can find anything good, you know. But this is good news right here. Every morning and every evening, it's still good. It's good stuff to know that Jesus has got our back. Glory, hallelujah on that. And the fourth thing is, what's Jesus doing? Jesus is preparing a home for us in heaven. For the last 2,000 years, Jesus has been hard at work preparing a home for us. God brought the entire universe into existence just by speaking. Can you imagine what he's done in 2,000 years of preparing heaven for the saved saints, for you and I? No wonder in 1 Corinthians we read, no eye has seen or ear heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. I've been to other countries, and I've seen some incredibly beautiful sights and sunsets and sunrises and waterfalls and mountains and jungles. But, beloved, this world is broken. But even in its brokenness, what God has made is beautiful. And if this broken world, listen to this, if this broken world is beautiful, imagine what a perfect place like heaven is going to be like. Huh? Can you imagine that? Church, God wants to use us to invite people to that amazing place, the relationship with Jesus Christ. What an incredible opportunity we have as his redeemed children to lead others to know the author of our salvation, the finisher of our faith, to know the architect of heaven. Hallelujah. We've got such good news to tell to people in this broken world. They need to hear it. They need to hear it from us. And the fifth thing is, what is Jesus doing? Jesus is waiting on us to finish our assignment. Over the years, I've witnessed many people's last moments. It's not a pleasant thing. But I've learned that last words are important. Jesus' last words, known as the Great Commission, are instructions for all believers. And they're not just for pastors or for missionaries. They're for all of us, his children. And Jesus said, I have been given all authority. There's that word all again. You know what all means? All authority in heaven and on earth. There is no other authority any greater. There is no other mission any greater than what Jesus speaks to tell us in these last words that he spoke. I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I give to you. And be sure of this. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. If there was anything more important to Jesus than the vision of the Great Commission, he would have said it in those last words. Instead, Jesus lays out the vision for the church. And he gives his followers this huge assignment. An assignment that is so big, it's greater than anything that they could ever do. And it's almost like we said, well, Jesus, we can't do that. And he said, well, don't worry about it. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you in this great assignment, even to the end of the age. And that's still our mission today, 2,000 years later. In Revelation 7, 9, and 10, we're given a picture of what heaven will look like when we've completed the assignment that Jesus has given to us. Listen to this, church. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and every tribe and every people and every language. They were standing there before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were clothed with white robes. They held palm branches in their hands. And listen to this. They were shouting with a great roar. They weren't sitting. They weren't watching. And they weren't listening. They were actively involved in the praise of Almighty God. They were shouting with a great roar. Salvation comes from God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. At last they had arrived. I pray you keep this picture in your mind. I believe this is the vision God wants us all to see. Our destiny. He gives us a picture of our eternal destiny. Our mission is to lead us straight to the throne room of God Almighty, where we will meet all the vast number of the redeemed of God who have gone on before and there worship the Lord God Almighty as a great family forever and forever. Every time I look at the news, I'm reminded that our world is filled with such bad news. And bad news sells, you know. It sells. It's popular. But beloved, we need to proclaim the good news. We need to be all about this assignment that Jesus has left us to do. Amen? I want to read a scripture to you and we'll close in conclusion. It's a scripture about Jesus when he was a young boy. And listen to it. It says, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went to the festival according to the custom. It's a tradition that they did. And after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Now, can you imagine that? Any of y'all ever lost your kids for a day? Anybody? I've heard of that before, you know. But anyway, They began looking for him among their friends and relatives. Couldn't find him. Went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, people, after the day they would be known as what? Child abusers. But anyway, after 3 days, they found him. And it says they found him in the temple court among the teachers, listening to them and asking him questions. He was 12 years old, and everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." I'm sure they were. And that's what Jesus said. "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" And verse 50 says, "But they did not understand." They did not understand what he was saying. And they were kind of in the same place Jesus' disciples were when they were washing feet. And Jesus looked at them and said, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." Many times businesses and governments and organizations are accused, rightfully so, of not being transparent about what they're doing. Jesus is not like that. He's openly transparent about who he is, what he's about, and what he's doing. And Jesus wants us to understand. He's building a family to love forever. He's keeping his family safe and secure. He's praying for every single need the family has. And he's preparing a home in heaven that we're not even able to even comprehend what's going to be there. And Jesus is waiting on us to finish our assignment. We know what Jesus is doing. He is doing the work his Father God left him to do and entrusted into his care. One day a man was asked, and someone asked him kind of in a sarcastic way. And I know y'all have never done that. But this man asked this guy, he said, "So what's your purpose today?" And immediately, this man replied, "My purpose is to go to heaven and is carry as many people with me as I can." That probably ended that conversation. But it pretty much sums up the assignment that Jesus has left for us. Aren't you glad Jesus has given us a full understanding of what he's about, what he's doing? Aren't you glad that Jesus invites us to join him in this great work? This week I read a quote on the internet. It was a quote, isn't it? It's not me, it's a quote, but it kind of stuck with me. It simply said, "People don't do what they know. They do what they value." And you can think on that for quite some time. You know, we know that working out is good for us, right? Yeah. Right. Okay. All right. I don't know if y'all with me on that. Yeah. We know that working out is good for us. But that doesn't mean we value it enough to take action. Would you agree with that, anybody?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. You know, most of us have been to church all our lives. And we know the work that Jesus has assigned us to do. The question that we must answer is this: do we value the people that he loved enough to die for them? Do we value those people enough? And that's the whole world, every nation, tongue, tribe, whatever. Do we value people enough to take action on it? And I challenge you as you leave here today, find someone to share this good news with. They need it. Every person needs to know that Jesus can save them. Every person needs to hear about heaven. And this is our assignment from Jesus. And we need to pray together that we remain faithful to the work that he's left for us to do. Together we need to invite as many people as we can to know Jesus, so that they too will stand before the great throne room of heaven with Jesus and all the saints of God and praise Him for all eternity. Amen?
Amen.
And hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Jesus and the work that He does and the fact that He's invited us to take a part. So speak to us and empower us and strengthen us and move and motivate us to move in that direction with Jesus You would have us to go. I thank You for my brothers and sisters here today, and we're encouraged with the fact that we know that Jesus is alive and He's interceding for us, He's pulling for us, He's cheering us on, and we just pray that we can be a good image and representation to what Jesus is all about to those who don't know Him. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Let's turn to 560 and stand to sing the first two verses of More About Jesus.
Again, we welcome and thank you for all for being here today, bringing this spirit of worship. Just carry that same spirit enthusiasm out into the world as we do what Jesus left us to do. Anybody have anything to say before we leave? All right, let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank You for this day. We reaffirm our faith in the work and the mission that Jesus called us as we pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. This day, our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Not the temptation, deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.